Blog Talk Radio.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? Where women go and men follow. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under.
When AP's around, and the song is by Men at Work. It was a hit song and went number one in their home country of Australia in December of 81, and it topped the New Zealand charts in February of 82. It topped the Canadian charts in October of 82. The U.S. song debuted on the Billboard Top 100 November 6th in 1982 at number 79, and it reached number 1 in January of 83, topping the U.S. Billboard charts for non-consecutive weeks. It eventually sold over 2 million copies in the U.S. alone, and Billboard ranks it at number 4 for the year 1983. This is Deborah Lee, and you are listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, and we hang out at allpoetry.com. If you are a member or if you join and would like to hang out with us, just look up the group tab and then find a team of voices, and I'll meet you at the door. If you are there, you can chat with us on the wall, or you could call in at 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And we share the links that we present on the show on the chat wall there so that you can follow along and comment. And you could call in and read if you'd like to participate. There's also a link to the show on that chat wall. And there just happens to be a Vegemite sandwich happening on that board right about there. And we are in the middle of a series right now where we feature the other poets that we write with and hang out with. And each week we feature some of the quotes from their poetry along with an artist or a group. Tonight's group is Fine Art America, and there were many amazing photos to pick from. And then there were also quotes from the poetry of A.P. Taylor, and the poets were asked to choose a quote and choose a piece of art, combine them, and write a poem. And with that being said, we've got the line going, so I am going to get this show on the road. And I am here with A.P. Taylor. Hey, A.P.
Hi.
Glad you're here.
How are you?
Running late, but glad to be here.
Oh, that's good.
And I'm also here with my big brother, Hatter, my co-host every week. Hey, Hatter.
Hey, I thought you forgot about me.
No. How can we forget about Hatter? Or Hatter Socks, for that matter.
Hatter Socks.
And right there next to Hatter is the other member of the board for a team of voices, Sweet Pea. Hey, Sweet.
Hey, everybody.
Glad you're here.
Can I share a fact about that song, Deb?
Please do.
20-odd years after its release, it was featured on a music quiz show. And the music quiz show said that the flute riff was stolen from Kookaburra Sits on an Old Gum Tree. So the people who owned the rights to Kookaburra Sits on an Old Gum Tree took Metaphor to court to say that they had actually used the flute riff from Kookaburra Sits on the Old Gum Tree and were successful in their court case and got 5% of the rights and royalties to that song.
Wow.
I have not heard that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. The Old Gum Tree was the flute riff, according to the judge, and so they had to give over 20-odd years after the thing was released. It was in 2010, the court case. They had to give over 5% of all of their royalties to the people who own the rights to Kookaburra Sits on the Old Gum Tree. There you go.
Wow. Wow, that's, you just never know, do you? Quite an interesting tidbit, can't even talk. AP, I'm about to let Kay and Steven in, but I noticed on the board that it says you're breaking up. Do you want to hang up and dial back?
Yeah, I'll hang up and dial back. Just 1 second.
And let's say hello to Kay and Steven from A Poetic Slice of Life. Hey, guys, glad you're here. We've missed you.
Hello.
And we have a full board tonight. And like we normally do when it's for the tribute to the quotes from other poets, we have the poem read, and then I'll comment, and then AP will comment, and then I will have the next reader comment. And I am headed over to the board right now to get Kay's poem, and we will kick this show off. And, hey, AP, say something.
Hi. Is that better?
Sounds better to me.
Oh, my God, yes.
Everybody? All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Cool. Okay. So, I'm grabbing the link, and if each reader would mention the quote that inspired them. and then read, that would be fantastic. So, Kay, take us away.
Okay, I gotta grab my link.
It's like frozen. There it goes.
Okay. I was just about to grab it. Okay, so I referenced the quote, "Wisp of clouds do gather by a coastline, the rains precious upon the scarce soil, and colors that once formed a rainbow curled over my world as dreamers, and I call us almost auburn and autumn spice for simian hope. Summer sky, fleas and waters, berries, embers of serenity, cobbled peach, sherbet fennels, and golds of ease, flush and cinnamon of campfire beach nestlings, hearthstone, cayenne and cerise, hollyberry, hazelnut rustin, a blue moon to sapphire hearts, souvenir and footprints in the grain of time, the twinkle of wrinkling, a gilded lilt garland, polish in the ceramics of a mosaic wayfarer, walking, not alone, end poem."
Well, I'd like, well, for starters, I love the title, Almost Auburn in Autumn Spice, Persimmon Hopes. Autumn Spice, it does have a lot of spicy tones in that sunrise or sunset there. And I like, where was that? Cayenne and cerise hollyberry, hazelnut rusting on the blue moons to sapphire heartbeats. Just that one of colors and visuals is like perfect. And souveniring footprints in the grain of time. I love that line. I feel like I said that to you before in another way that you used footprints. I think that, well, we say it all the time, you're definitely one of our metaphor queens, and this shows it all the way through from that blushing cinnamon to the souvenir and footprints. I think that it's a gorgeous brevity, and between the quote and the art and your words, you painted quite a beautiful picture. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
AP, what do you think?
I really like the image to start with, Deb, and I really like it because you do get remarkable, vivid sunsets here, and we're very, very fortunate about that. And I think what you did, Kay, was pick up some of the wonderful colours that we are fortunate enough to have here, and it. And not just the colours, though. I love the last couple of lines, the ceramics of a mosaic wayfarer walking not alone. And I think that's true. It's certainly, you know, when I was wandering around the world in ever-decreasing circles, it was always wonderful to be able just to have this group and to be able to call in and touch base. And there's something, you know, really, really... really great about that. So I love the colours, and I love the last couple of lines.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, while I grab your poem, will you comment for Kay and then tell us what's coming up at Poetic Slice? Or 1 second, Kay, did you want to talk about the challenge you have going on?
Sure. I guess. At the last minute, I decided to take part of National Poetry Month. I originally was not, but I had a few people encourage me to get it going, actually. So if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't be doing this. I'm crazy. Anybody's taking part of National Poetry Month, share your rights at the folder that I have created there. And then come May, I will do like I did last year as far as figuring things out as to getting a show lined up, points being rewarded, all that good stuff. So take part in National Poetry Month. Have fun writing every day. May the muse be with you.
Awesome. Thank you. And Stephen?
Yeah, I like this a lot. I told you in my comment that I think your words outshine the picture, actually. And I also like the use of color and maybe that slight, just a little bit of alliteration here and there. just to give you a little extra poetic tools. It's really cool. Yeah.
Great comment. And it's up to you. You can read first, or you can go ahead and tell us about the poetic slice and the cool new artist.
I'm just going to go over there to see what's up this time. It is the artist of the year, yes?
Yes.
Lisa Isato, bless you. Kay found a lot more paintings from her to write to. They're really, really cool paintings. Check them out in the topic folder. That's the prompt for this Wednesday. And then Sky Show, I don't think Sky's here, so I will say Sky Show is on Thursday, 8 p.m., and it is going to be, it's Tolkien month for her, so it's going to be The Hobbit, The Unexpected Journey, that movie. Scene rights, movie rights, character rights, quote rights, come and geek out with Sky Thursday at 8 p.m.
Awesome, thank you. And I moved your poem back down because the board's hopping a bit.
All right. I use the quote, shadowy crescents in space that fade. And I call this simply Genesis. Tottering stars and planets and moons bundled taut, trussed with such pretty pastel bows and festive wrapper. The creator's adroit hands brings the constellations forth by pulling apart the Big Bang's Christmas cracker. End poem.
Well, there you go. Those four liners, man, you just keep racking them up. I like the creator's adroit hand brings the constellations forth, because it works perfectly with that. It's like he's holding sparkles or a punk, but instead he's got like a little constellation there, and that looks really, really cool. So I thought you brought the art to life right there. And then, of course, the shadowy crescents in space cascade also works perfectly. So bravo. And again, 46 of them bad boys. I had a hard enough time doing the one I did, Stephen. I can't believe you have 46 of them. And they're always so packed color and information. I thought this was one of your, well, to me, it was a really fun one, especially because I could almost picture the sparkles turning into that constellation there. So very cool share. And AP, what do you think?
Look, I really like the 4-line 10 idea, to be honest, because it's just such a, you know, a bastard of a thing to do. I mean, I think I've done one. But the lovely thing about that one is that you just look at that poem and just say, oh, that's a pretty cool poem. You know, that fits on the page nicely. And then you think, shit, it's four lines and it's a 10. That's really neat. So technically I thought it was a really good poem, but I just like it as a poem. I think it's really fun. Thanks, Stephen.
Comment. And I'm going to have Stephen read for JCA before he leaves, so I think I will see if Kay will comment for him.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I like it because, as I said it, I like, this was just how I thought, I like the Christmas perspective with the dressing of a package, the constellation and the greater vast. Look, as I said, as Mr. Bean would say, Merry Christmas before the big boom.
Yes.
Yeah. And comment.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Biden.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Awesome comment. And I am grabbing Jay's. And there's the topic board. Okay. And I'm scrolling down to Jay's because I wanted to see. Okay. Here we go. I was just looking to see if the quote was in the – sometimes they're only on the topic board and not actually in the poem. So I am adding it to the board, and let me see here. Okay. Yeah, it is on there. So please, Stephen.
The quote that JCA used was, "I carry hope with weight, yet pliable and desired like gold." And it's called Angel Flare. 80 degrees to the Baghdad sky, wings sprayed and the lemon topaz burst. Sizzling wings as the khaki backbones crack from the sandalwood aluminum cargo seats shrouding, flying home. End poem.
Thank you, Stephen. And wow, look, I think the art he chose is so cool, and I see that angel sort of, it's almost to me like the angels carrying the plane, but I love how Jay made it an angel flare because it's got like, it glows and twinkles, so I think the title's amazing, and the sizzling wings as the khaki backbones crack from the sandalwood aluminum cargo seats. And then for a minute you think, uh-oh, you know, is it going, how bad is the crack? Is it going to fall, or are we going to make it? And I think, since it's written to a quote about hope, that it makes it on that angel flare. So I think that this is really, really clever. There's the fear of the crash, but there's the hope of the angel flare. So it is an amazing little brevity. And thank you so much for reading it, Stephen, and thank you for sending it in, JCA. And AP, what you think?
I really like the picture. Dave's going to have to tell me what plane that is. It looks a little bit like, little known to most people, I did do quite a bit of sort of military stuff in my young age, and so it looks a little bit like a C-130 Hercules. That's a really cool image, and I love the poem, and another 10 ranked 5-line poem, which is really cool.
Awesome comment. And my sweet, you are the next reader, so would you comment for Jay, please?
I that was a wonderful write. I love the offering of hope and protection for all to come home. I think the metaphor that she used was brilliant. And if nobody read his author's notes, I think they really tell you a lot about what the angel flare really means.
Did you want to read them?
The flares extending from the aircraft are designed to protect the heat missile. They are deployed on a tactical takeoff where the plane ascends at a high angle to avoid small arms fire. They often look like a need.
Awesome. And I am grabbing yours to put it on the board right now. And then you can tell us what quote you chose and show us what you brought.
I wrote to actually the same quote as Jay. I carry hope with weight, yet pliable and desired like gold. And I love this picture. It's cornflower fuchsia. He sat anxiously sweating in the cockpit of his demon. Following his flag, the wind was gentle and caressed the tail of his demon into the air. Into the blue cornflower sky, the same shade as the ribbons in Marianne's hair. He questioned his sanity as his plane met altitudes not meant for man. Grasping the situation of immorality, he slides into formation to fight against the world terrorized by hate. To end this reign, his life he'd sacrifice. The squadron flew like a murder of crows, hunting snakes to devour, dodging the eagles and hawks, one enemy seeking to destroy the balance of power between man, future history to avoid. Lost brothers are mourned and bravery is tattered in patterns of war. No Heroes Arise, as Dawn presents Zero Compromises on a Battlefield Scorn. Skies of Cornflower Blue now swirl in blackened ash as planes fall and burn. Nightmares for a lifetime begin to emerge, watching a war in high altitude. Filling clouds of white turn to brilliant red, losing droplets of blood as she screams into the silhouette night, praying for the end of his life. Mary Ann stood on the front porch with two men dressed in blue. The story of a pilot's fight for freedom cradled in her arms. He listened. He died saving his brothers from the pain of a torrid war. Mary Ann giggled, small boy running across the field, waving at the squadron of airplanes soaring above his head. A child knowing nothing of death or war, he wished to fly. The cornflower blue sky, I was living in my world. Okay.
Wow, sweet. Cornflower blue skies, great title. And all through this, between the emotion and the images that you painted, it was just like right from the get-go, he sat anxiously, sweating in the cockpit of his demon, following his flags. The wind was gentle, thrust the tail of the plane into the air, into the blue cornflower sky, the same shade as the ribbons in Mary Ann's hair. And I'm like, oh my goodness, just right there, you get us set up for the fact that the cockpit's a demon, okay? So that paints an image, like, holy cow. And then we get to the ribbons in Mary Ann's hair, and you can think about this, like him sitting there and thinking about her, and he questions his sanity as the plane met altitudes not meant for man. And then, I got so many, lost brothers are mourned, and bravery is tattered in patterns of war. Got some inner rhyme happening around there. No hero arises as dawn presents zero compromises on battlefield scorn. And again, skies of cornflower blue now swirl in blackened ash as planes fall and burn. You captured emotions, the intensity, the sorrow, the hardship, the horrors of war, of imagining the fear once up there. And then I liked towards the end when you got to Mary Ann giggled at the smaller boy running across the field, waving his squadron of airplanes soaring above his head. And I've seen where the little boys are fascinated and with their airplanes, they try to run as if they had a prayer of catching up with the airplanes, because we have a little airport, well, in Williamstown we do, and I used to take the kids there to watch the planes land and come in, you know, the smaller planes, but yet still the same premise that they're there and they're like running as if they could. So you have so many images gone through my mind, but this was a real powerhouse. And I like that you put that extra in and went and talked about Australia's response being firm, and 30,000 Australians died in the war. It's just like the poem that you wrote is every bit as powerful as the information that you researched, and I think you did an amazing job. AP?
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I was hoping somebody would grab this picture, Deb, because there was an American film, an early film by Spielberg called Empire of the Sun, that came out when I was at uni. And it was one of my favorite films, still is. And the film is quite famous for Christian Bale running down next to the airfield as the P-51s came across. Australia did remarkably, you know, in combat in World War II, it produced, because it was separated from everybody else, and usually Australia imports all of its decent equipment, it had no choice but had to actually manufacture its own and design its own aircraft. And so it went from a standing start to producing over 2,000 fighters and bombers down here in World War II. That was a fairly decent effort considering the first planes that we produced could barely get off the bloody ground because we hadn't done it for years. So there was something for me about that history of aircraft down here in war, and there was definitely something about Empire of the Sun and that brilliant song, Feng Yao, that's in that film that I still love. And just sort of picked up the emotion for me of that whole wartime era and but also the sort of excitement that young boys got still do from chasing after planes. So no, I really enjoyed it. So.
Thank you, Nathan.
Awesome comment. And Heather, I was going to read next, and I get already commented. So will you comment for Sweet?
Yes, I will. What I got out of it was childhood friends when they're young going out and playing soldier, playing army, and then having to witness lifelong friends go off to war and have to fight for their lives, you know. The correlation is pretty strong. I don't know if you meant to do that, Sweet, but it's very good.
Awesome comment. And I put mine on the board. If you want to click on it. And you guys know me. I couldn't pick one, so I took one, two, three, four, five. No, I didn't take them all. Oh, one, two, three, four, five, six. I took seven of them and put them in the poem. And this is called Traveling to the Ninth Street Beach. Here we go. Driving down the lanes of the asphalt avenue, singing the songs that play on the car radio, drinking in the colors of the landscape as I do with the cool breeze blowing in the open window. Passing by the meadow of flowers pastel blue, paisley butterflies don't obscure their presence. They proudly wander vividly into view, soaring on winds that spread the sweet petal scent. Trees were whistling quietly in the shadow of my magpie calls. And on the journey, I carry hope with weight, yet pliable and desired like gold by all. My glass is half full and my hope cannot deflate, lifted off the ground by my friends as I fall, if I fall. Neath sky-stained periwinkle and clouds pearl white, all the neon colors that once formed a rainbow curl over my world as dreamers do, then shined bright. Beams glitter now on the water as the salted ripples glow from the sun tossing out streams of hot topaz light. Then by the rear view I glimpsed his eyes, fiery hazel matching mine. And as he stared into the sunlit skies, plump clouds shape-shifted, floating in a line. At the shore, thermometers climbed 22 degrees. Then, plucked off a stand of distant apple trees, a large crimson leaf lies curled onto a breeze, perfumed by the brine from the turquoise seas. Parked the car to walk on the warm cashmere sand with the sea breezes bouncing all the curls in my hair, damp from waves as brumbies break over islands, crashing as they splash bubbled seafoam on the air. Onto reeds of dune grass a monarch butterfly lands, and I lay on the beach blanket tanning as my eyes stare and pull.
Well, I better go first.
Really, Pete.
It's cool you used all those quotes, Deb. I haven't sort of seen them all together like that in one piece before. But I mean, I think the thing for me that I really like about this is that it's a happy poem. At the end of the day, it's a joyous poem. It's a poem basically saying that the world and the world around you, and there's something really, really cool about that. So that, I just like the perspective of the poem. I think it's really cool.
Thank you so much. And Hatter, you're the next
okay.
Reader.
Thank you. Okay. Running down the hall. And it mind morphed into they know that it was you.
Ah.
I ain't a lion. Yeah.
Aha.
It goes like this. The sounds that gather when pushed aside, the few for many turn to die. Killing beasts, they hunt for fun, counting down to a single one. Natural nature holds its kings aloft with roars compared. It's all it's got. Silence kills the games we play, turning back to an easier day when queens ruled and the voices heard, preaching their fate in a spoken word. Pointing fingers to reflect the guilt, sharing blame from the world that built. Cries that plead in local terms await the calls that we should learn. But still we count the diminishing few that wait for when they point at you. If you hear those screams as the money rolls in, it echoes the crimes of human sins. Times are strange when you play this game. If you do not believe it's true, as the lions draw near, it will become quite clear they know that it was you. And I started with, I carry hope with weight, yet primal and desired with, like, gold. And I morphed to that.
Yeah, but I love when that happens. When you start writing and it just, your muse just leads you. I think the title is really cool, Hatter. They know that it was you. And nature holds its kings aloft with roars compared. It's all it's got. Silence kills the games we play, turning back to an easier day when queens ruled, the voices heard, preaching their fate in spoken word. I of course, your Hatter rhyme is mega recognizable all through here. And I also like pointing fingers to reflect the guilt, sharing blame from the world they built. You had a lot of different emotions that were bouncing around, which was really cool. And it seems like it ties to the attitude in that amazing lion's face there. And where was that? If you hear those screams as the money rolls in, it echoes the crimes and human sins. It's like of your quote that you chose was, I carry hope with weight, yet pliable and desired like gold. So I like how you tied them in, and I think that you did awesome with it, and I appreciate it. And AP, what do you think?
I like this one, Deb, and I like it because when Hatter's on task, he makes you think, and he makes you think about what the linkages are and what the connections are, and there's a whole heap of things you can read into here as metaphors, which is, I think, terrific. And I appreciate the lion image. As Hatter knows, and you know, I have that connection through the Wizard of Oz to the lion, and I've always tried to sort of be the opposite to the lion in a sense, and that is just, you know, give everything a go and throw it against the wall and see what sticks. And so I really like the poem. Thanks, Hatter.
Thank you, P. Yeah, I was a little angry. Angry. Until.
Awesome comment. And, Sweet, will you comment?
Oh, absolutely. I first off, I think the quote works perfectly for the poem. I mean, hope against hope, the king will rise again in a mighty jungle where, you know, everything will rise. Without the sins of man, we might have our lions, our tigers, our bears, our elephants. So I kind of felt all of that emotion that, you know, we're out there killing what we shouldn't be killing and hunting what we shouldn't be hunting. So let's hope that's the hope of war. That they all come back to us.
Thank you, Sweets. Yeah, I always wondered why they labeled the lion the king of the jungle when it doesn't live in the jungle.
Tiger
does. I know.
You are the king of good questions, Hatter. Let's say hello to Sky.
Hi, Sky.
Hi, Sky.
I just changed the order, and I put your poem up on the board because I know that it's a late night for you. If you would go ahead and tell us what quote you wrote to and read, and just so you know, Stephen pushed your show at Poetic Slice while he was here.
Well, thank you. This is from the quote number 7, Shadowy Crescent in the Cascade. And my poem is called Made of Sinew and Drift, by our poem. I hung a song upon the moon, as familiar as lines to hand, a scheme of moments from palm to thread, while voice flavors to stand. And trundled in that cargo, made of sinew and drift, I found tassels waiting, a fathomless schism that echoes through the dawn, as darkly verses, where, in darkly voices, darkly verses, where blank curtains are drawn, and home. Couldn't get out that last line.
I was fumbling over mine read tonight, too. I don't know what was up. in the air, you know, but like, yeah, I really like the title Made of Sinew and Drift, really cool title, and in the middle there, and trundled in that cargo made of sinew and drift, I found tassels waiting within a bog of rift. I thought that was a really awesome rhyme. A fathomless schism that echoes through the dawn. I love that line. I thought this was an awesome brevity, and it brought the quote and the art to life. And back again for a minute, I really liked the tassels waiting within a bog of drift. I think that was really, really cool. Brevity, thank you very much. AP, what you think?
Yeah, it looks a really interesting little quote, Shadowy Crescents in Space Cascade. I think you did a great job with it. I appreciate the rhyme, by the way. The fathomless schism that echoes through the dawn is really cool. There's some lovely use of words and a lovely contrast of words, and it, you know, you could apply this poem to so many different things, and I think it's a really cool poem, Scott.
Thank you.
Can you see something? Sweet, will you comment for Sky, please?
Oh, absolutely. But I saw things kind of my way, as I always do. I think the magic of your imagery, you take me into a world of wonder where I found shadows wandering without form. I just felt that. And it was...
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. You're welcome.
Awesome comments. And I moved Pee-wee's back down, and I'm looking to see, he did send in a SoundCloud. The quote that he wrote to is, "Colors that once formed a rainbow curled over my world as dreamers do." And I am, if you guys click on that, I'm going to push the recording. Sky, I just wanted to say thanks in case you can't stay. And I am about to push play. Here we go.
Liquid Sun, Voyage. Nebulous and cyclical, psychedelic transcendent, into and out of and through the void myopic. Dimensions dance and fold themselves. You can't find cigarettes, polyphenes now telescopic. Vortices dance and swirl through endless prisms inside polychromatic plasticine cerebellum. Intrinsically erratic, spiraling galaxies form schisms, rupturing ether tide denied. Oh, what to tell them? Psychonauts exploring inner galaxies in mind try to emulate, though never quite recreate, initial adventure acquiescing that inner shrine, as each universe visited will never duplicate. Intelligently inept, wearing shoestring-style smiles, in spacesuits ceremoniously unscrupulous, falling back away from yourself more and more, while trying to latch on to memory paid to do this. Again, the void bends and twists your world to strife, as the fourth dimension folds over and in, swallowing whole thoughts any semblance of life ever formed inside of delirium's delirious din. Liquid sun dripping in and through the hazy galaxy of constellations created in the deepest, darkest corners a mind can muster under this sea of stars sailing on in a hallucinogenic zest. Lying back in a lawn chair, you release the pressure excess for lack of anything else holding you in the stratosphere, and you look to measure footprints left from the universal molding. Psychoanalyzing symbolic symmetry of trees he believes to be in the sea of me. Ever entertaining, educating, and ingraining history into past, present, and future of all won't be. In words, all start to unwind before your eyes. The song's melody, song melody, coming undone, coming undone. Liquid sun, liquid sun, now dripping out from the skies, leaving this. My only song,
my only song
yet, unsung.
Yet unsung.
Wow. You know that effect, this is the second time I've heard him use that. And in this particular case, it's a picture of an astronaut, but space is bursting from the uniform. And I think that it gave it a space-ish feel as I listened to him. And the stuff like, again, the void bends and twists your world into strife as the fourth dimension folds over and in, swallowing whole thoughts, any semblance of life ever formed inside of delirium's delirious din. A little bit of tongue-twisting going on there. Some really clever rhyme. And I like at the end there, too, and words all start to unwind before your eyes, which was sort of like the effect that he had going on. So I know he's out there, Pee-wee, I think that you're having some fun playing with them effects, and they're coming out really cool. I think you did a great job. Thank you so much.
I got a question. I looked and there's no word bank word, and I don't see it in any prompt quote. But Sky, is she still here?
No, she had to go.
And Sky and Pee-wee both used schisms.
Oh yeah, and now it's definitely a word bank word. Right?
I wonder how that. That I think is pretty cool.
And it's an odd coincidence, isn't it? It's not a common
word
pop up more than once in there. And I don't think it was in any of the pieces I chose to use of APs, so that is even more.
I didn't see it. Yeah, I didn't see it. So, great. That's good.
Yeah.
I think I like
AP,
it.
Well, I hadn't noticed it, had I? Thank you for showing that. I was just listening to the word. I mean, I interestingly enough, schism is not used very often at all these days. You know, its usage is right down. Apparently, it was used most in the 1850s, had I? So, if you've been around the 1850s, it might have been, you know, more likely that we would have had a couple of poems within it. But as it happens, we have. But yeah, the great thing about Pee-wee's, I love the production. I love the overdub and the use of the audio to actually get that combination of words going. And it played to the words that were in the poem itself. So the words starting to unwind before your eyes and the song's melody is now coming undone was being played as that was happening because you actually had the other tracks going, and I love the way you ended, leaving my only song yet unsung. There's something about sort of unfinished business and work to do that sort of comes through that. So, my thanks. It was really cool. Thanks, Boo.
Cool comment. And sorry, I'm laughing. This is. I was seeing the mushroom conversation on the board. Sweet, will you comment for Pee-wee? And then I saw that you said you would push Sky's show for tomorrow, please.
Yeah. Well, I really enjoyed the poem. I thought it was an awesome write. It has really great descriptions and some really cool morphing back and forth into reality, outside of reality. Kind of one of those high alternative vibes. But I truly enjoyed the vocal experience. You talk about psychedelic and all the other metaphorical and imagery he used throughout the poem. To have it kind of go through on the vocal vibe was really a cool thing that he did. And it kind of absorbed you into his actual language. So... bravo for that, Pee-wee. I thought it was really, really great. And tomorrow night, as Skye's down the tubes, really random stuff with Miss Darkholm, and it's really very interesting. It's how the monks got their names. It's a great 14-minute video. I would highly recommend watching. And pick a prompt with whatever inspires you, whether it's fiction, reality, metaphor. Whatever you want, you don't have to go particularly by script or write about some educational, boring paper on it. Just let your muse guide you on her reality of how the monks got their names. Uh-huh. It'll be fun. I'm joining Sky tomorrow night. It's... I don't know what time because Sky forgets to put her time on. So, Deb, as you know, I know it's pretty early, though.
8 p.m.?
Oh, it's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time?
Yes, ma'am.
8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, everybody, you know, if you're on the Central Mountain or West Coast, gather a snack because you're going to be late for dinner because it's pretty early. But join Sky Darkholm, Miss Darkholm. Down the tubes.
Thank you. Okay, so Wayne is running late and Linda is running late, so let me grab, I'm going to grab Gerald's because he's been away for so long we haven't heard of him. So I'm going to put his recording on and what we'll do is we will just comment within the room. I can't believe an hour went by already. So we will just keep on keeping on.
Good night.
And I was just going to ask you that. And my sweet, I will give you a call. I want to talk to you about something tomorrow. And thanks for hanging out.
Okay, awesome.
Love and respect.
Thanks,
Wayne. Bye.
Okay, so I, again, I'll comment, and then AP, and then you had her until hopefully Wayne or Linda get back in time. Otherwise, we'll just do their poems towards the end, and we'll just go with this one. So click on Gerald, and I shall push play. And okay. I don't know if he wrote it in... I mean, if he said it when he read, so I will say that he wrote Carry Hope with weight, yet pliable and desired like gold. It's a very popular one, AP. It's funny how one seems to stand out with every single poet, and that one's in a semi-recent poem as well.
Yes.
Okay, so here we go. I will push play.
Leaving Home, written in red by Gerald Green. She finished breakfast as the sun reached the valley, revealing fog along the riverbank, a river she wouldn't see again for 4 years. Her small suitcase held everything she owned, 5 dresses, work shoes, underwear and socks, and a few other items stuffed in corners. No one walked her down the dusty dirt road, bearing left toward the river, a 20-minute walk on an August morning, before the heat made you sweat. She reached the railroad crossing, knowing what would come within the hour. Everyone who lived within a mile would hear its engine, smell its fire. By early afternoon, she'd be with a sister at a boarding school, overlooking Lake Cayuga, home for the next 4 years. There was no whistle or a terminal, but only noise as the engine huffed its way up the valley, trying to reach 20 miles each hour. Her legs began to tremble, and second thoughts rose when the mighty machine came into view, black smoke pouring out its dirty mouth. She waved her hand of 14 years, and heard release of steam, while brakes applied pressure, and the train of 4 cars slowed and stopped. A conductor motioned her to go, helping her climb the iron stairs and into the wooden car as the train lurched forward. The fare was paid, and in 3 hours she would reach her destination. Life for her would never be the same, in a place where student labor earned her way. End poem.
Way cool. Leaving Home. I like the title. She finished breakfast as the sun reached the valley, revealing fog along the riverbank, a river she wouldn't see again for 4 years. So you get the feel there that she was maybe on her way off to college, possibly. No one walked at her down the dusty dirt road, bearing left towards the river, a 20-minute walk on August morning before the heat made you sweat. The details really set the tone throughout. By early afternoon, she'd be with a sister at a boarding school, there you go, overlooking Lake Cayuga, home for the next 4 years. Her legs began to tremble, and second thoughts rose when the mighty machine came into view, black smoke pouring out the dirty mouth. I like how he didn't get even to that to the train in the art until around the middle, because it was more concentrated on her leaving home. And I'm going to have to ask, because it kind of felt real. Like maybe it was a memory of sending someone off to college there. And then in the last stanza, the fare was paid, and in 3 hours she would reach her destination. Life for her would never be the same in a place where student labor earned her way. And I see that the Lake Cayuga, there's a Cayuga Heights, Ohio, so I'm thinking that she went to school 3 hours from home. So I thought, like I said, I kind of felt like this was somewhat biographical. And he always writes really well, and it was fantastic to hear him. And I'm really glad you're back, Gerald. Thank you for supporting the show. AP, what do you think?
Yeah, it's sort of interesting, isn't it? That sort of leaving something really is a very powerful thing. I've changed schools in between when I was at primary school and secondary school, and went to a place where I knew nobody. And that sort of sense of walking into a place so far from what you know was very real for me. And I think I got a lot out of that sort of transition of doing that. But it's real and it's something that, you know, I didn't have much time to think about, thank goodness, but it's a really powerful sense, and I got that sense out of the poem bit.
Great comment. And what do you think, Hatter?
Yeah, I'm glad Gerald's back. Yeah, this is very good. I think back in the day, boarding school was a common thing for girls to be sent off to. I'm assuming it's because there's not a lot of worldly things around the farm. Am I right? When girls go off to boarding school, I mean, it's like, what is it like? Is it like college, or is it
assumed college, but there's not really a mention of her age, and you don't have to be college age to go off to boarding school. It could have been, you know, middle school or high school, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Is that what it taught to be ladies? Are they going to get shipped off to boarding school? Or is it the equivalent to a boys' military school? You get in too much trouble, you get shipped off to military school. I've tried to figure out what the boarding school is meant by it, because I have one thought in my own head what I think it is, and I'm not sure. Boarding school.
Well, sometimes it's just to send them to a good, maybe all-girls school, or in turn all-boys school. They don't all go to get in trouble and then get sent off to military school. Some of them, from my recollection, quite a few people who are big time in their career send their kids to boarding school so that they are well taken care of and schooled while they continue to build their career.
Yeah.
Some of them just do it because they have money and they can, and it's a good education. And some of them do it so that it's all girls and you know, or all boys, so that teen hormones don't drive you crazy and mess with your education. So there's just a couple of the reasons it could have been a boarding school, but it could just be a really excellent school and you're trying to give your child the best step up you can, you know?
Yeah, there's not much difference on the farm. Either you're going to be a farm girl or get educated, probably.
Yeah.
It's right? Glad to have you back, Gerald.
Sure is. Hey, Pete. Wasn't there an old man in a lightning bolt? Wasn't that the show?
Yes. Yes, there was.
How about we
there
do
was.
That
there
before
was.
We move on to
okay.
another
yeah,
one
can do
on
that.
The board?
Okay, cool. Well, I it was okay if I did one because the images were really cool. And
I'm putting it on there now.
I've
but, yeah, we only had two so far that didn't write for their own show. Everybody else
has. Yeah, yeah. Well, I sort of wasn't sure if that was sort of de rigueur, you see. So anyway, I did. So this is, because I look at this lightning bolt, you see, And if you follow the lightning bolt up, I think that's the sort of back. And then there's the two bits of sort of shadowy bits. I see those as the arms going up to the head. So I saw it as the elderly man. And the poem goes a little bit like this. Directed towards the barest of fields, an old man has bent over his cane, searching for those dwindling yields upon the rolling plains. Turgid brown arrived through, hovers a glorious mystic blue, descends an evening's dew before the drumming of tin lanes. Sound to drum, this arching of light reverberates before the hill's trains. Bass settles to call of grain's height, rumbling down the drains. Into the ears of farmers few, trained to hear platters new, upon the steel of roofs and two, the swaying dance of the grains. While the splash of platters weave and tingling of spatters on panes, waters they go gushing over eaves with dust's forgotten stains. Water rushes as dams brew, their swirls welcomed into insurance for summer too, as an old man fades into the rains. In poem.
Really cool. And I was looking at the image of the old man. I could see the hands and everything as you were reading. In the second stanza there, sounds to drums, this arcing of light reverberates before the hill's trains. Bass settled to call grain's height rumbling down the drains. There was like the sights and sounds, but I like I like the reverberates before the hills trains. And further down, the last stanza actually, while the splash of platters weave and tingling of spatters on panes, waters they go gushing over ease with dust's forgotten stains. The rhyme pattern that you have going here is really, really awesome. Is this a form, or was this just the way it hit you that you pulled the rhyme scheme down the way you did?
No form. Something that hit me as I went along, really. I just sort of made it up as I went, which normally happens.
I've noticed, even not just the rhyme pattern, but the shape too. For example, just in the first four lines of the stanzas, how it goes in and it's planes and drains and stains. So you not only did clever rhyme within the stanza, but you pulled it down stanza per stanza too, which is really awesome. And I was also just noting the comment down there. It's really cool to see that name pop up.
Yes, I'm really quite excited about that, Deb. I haven't had comment on one of my poems for a good 18 months, probably, and just a lovely comment by Robert, and so my thanks to him for stopping by.
Unmuted.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm going on and on. I said it struck me where he said, I can hear this in your voice, and it struck me that once we get that voice in our head, no matter how long it's been since we have read or heard from the person, when we read one of their poems, we can hear them in their own voice, which I find is really cool, and I thought it was awesome that he mentioned that down there. So, awesome poem.
Right.
And, Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I liked it. The elderly man.
Yeah.
Who are you talking about? Bent over his kids. You know, I do remember growing up, not on the farm nearby, but in Idaho. My cousin had a farm that went up a couple summers and helped him on the farm. When they had an electrical storm and it lit up the landscape, it's a lot different than it is when there's just houses and trees. When it lights up the fields, the rolling fields, that's what that part of Idaho is like. It's just flat.
Yeah.
It's eerie. It's I don't know what the word is, but when it lights up the field, yeah, spooky.
Yeah, I agree. Chatter, it's quite different. It travels so much further, and there's a couple of times that I've been stuck in storms in the car in the country, and I've just got off the side of the road and got on the recorder of my phone and just recorded what I'm seeing and what I'm thinking and the imagery, because it is an amazing sight. And I've done that several times, and I always get stuff out of those recordings because it's just really, yeah, really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, something about it.
Awesome. All right. Well, if you guys would click on Angel's poem, I'll read for her. And she wrote to the quote, "I carry hope with weight, pliable, and desired like gold." Again, I say, very popular one. And this is Country Living, God's Blessing, by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. It's the feeling of the saddle as the beast of burden you straddle. It's the taste of the dirt that westerly winds bring. It's the pleasure of knowing you put in a day's work. It's the smell of the wind as different aromas blend. Meadow flowers, grass, hay. It's sharing a good morning and good evening to folks along the way. It's the evening sunset with its colors all ablaze, or just before the sun peeked out in a summer morning haze. Ah, the country life. I carry hope with weight, yet pliable and desired like gold. That the end, when my life story is told, the ending will be. It was the simplicity of just enjoying and living what God created that was a blessing to me. End poem. Oh, I like where she took this. The scene with the orange there, it's the feeling of the saddle and the beast of burden you straddle. It's the taste of the dirt that westerly winds bring. And you know how sometimes when you're out there and it's a dry day and the wind blows, you do sometimes, whether you want to or not, you taste that dirt. And if you're working really hard and you're not paying attention, you actually realize that you even had dirt in your nostrils. And then it's the smell of the wind and the different aromas that blend. So I think that she pulled the colors and stuff from the photo, but that she tickled the senses with it, with the sights and the sounds and the scents that she shared along the way. And it was a beautiful way to describe the satisfaction you get from putting in a good day's work. So I thought it was awesome. Again, it's already a multi-award winner, which most of them are by the time she gets them to the show, and it was my honor to be her reader. AP, what you think?
Yeah, I do, as you know, have a real linkage back to the land through my grandparents' family, and I've written about it quite a bit. It's got a lovely sense about it, this poem, in the sense that it sort of captures the that sense of being on the land, that sense of connection to the land, and that sense of the people who choose to have that lifestyle and you know, forego what they do what they do because they love it, and it's a lovely poem.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, this was great. This brought back a lot of memories of the same place that in Idaho. There were days that we didn't have to play farmer. We got to play rancher. And we got up early, did our chores, and then saddled up the horses for the day's work. It was always enjoyable because it was truly, I was like 14, 15 years old, and it was truly playing cowboys. It was in every aspect. We even had sidearms. They were just 22s, but the days of the horses, the tack rooms, the smell of the leather, the spending the day out with the horses and cows, good memories. It really was hard work, but good memories.
Great comment, Hatter. And AP, I was wondering if you would read for Jenny. I'm just trying to see if she, yes, and she did put the quote in her comment, in her author's notes.
Okay, let me do that. I've just got to refresh this, and it's taking its own sweet time in doing it, Deb, so I might have to, oh, no, it's done it. I'm just going to have to turn to my phone. This is Learning to Adapt and Accept Life Changes by Jenny Hunt, 2017. And the quote is, colours that once formed over a rainbow curled over my world as dreamers do, and butterflies don't obscure their presence. They proudly wander vividly into view. I like both those quotes. So that's cool. Let's go. It goes a little bit like this. A lonely caterpillar chews her way leaf to leaf forward from the same activity of just eating. She wonders what else is out there for her, sadly struggling to be content with her life. Overly stuffed with monotonous feasting, she spins herself a chrysalis cocoon to rest. A fortnight later, her crystallized home cracks. Opening her ember glossy eyes, she stretches, thinking solemnly, colours that once formed a rainbow curled over my world, as dreamers do, and with a new perspective, metamorphosizing into a pearly white rose-kissed gold bronze wing, wide-winged ebony elegant silk butterfly. Fluttering away, she is able to accept her new self. Weeks flew by like she did in the sea blue sky. With her kaleidoscope wings, she flutters through. Landing on a fuchsia flower petal, she meets others just like her, feeling at home. Content now, as butterflies don't obscure their presence. They proudly wander vividly into view. End poem.
Great read, thank you. And I like learning to adapt and accept life changes. That's a great title. A lonely caterpillar chews her way leaf to leaf. Bored with the same activity of just eating, she wonders what else is out there for her. Sadly struggling to be content with life. And a bit of that, sadly struggling to be content with life, for a moment put me in the mind that with all the changes that, you know, the butterflies are trying to find their way because their food sources are changing, and for some reason, sadly struggling, it's like breaking my heart. Opening her amber glossy eyes, she stretches, thinking solemnly, colors that once formed a rainbow curled over my world as dreamers do. I like how she combined that one, and at the end, I love that she ended with your quote as well. I thought the two quotes that she chose paired really well, and they spoke well of the art that she chose as well. It looks like that butterfly has like a little bow tie on for some reason. And not that that has anything to do with anything, but I keep getting pulled back to that. But fluttering away, she's able to accept her new self. And I like that, that she finds acceptance. Not always an easy thing to do. So I thought that this was a clever take on the art and the two quotes that she combined. Again, great read, AP. What you think?
Oh, yeah, I really liked it, Deb. I liked it because it was it's a really great sort of sense of optimism sort of sitting behind it.
kind of, you know, going to something new and doing that with a sort of open heart. I really liked that sort of sense of going and discovering and I, you know, if it's something out there and I want to try it, I give it a go, and even if at first I don't sort of necessarily do something that's fantastically exciting, and look, poetry was a good example. It took me a couple of years to actually get myself to writing decent poems. I kept at it, and I'm far better now than I was a few years ago. That's something that, you know, I hold dear. If I do want to do something, I do go after it and try and make something of it.
Awesome comment. Howard, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the things below the butterfly there are the two actual caterpillars, the two worms that get together. Isn't that sort of looks like it? No, it's not. It's the bottom of the butterfly. I zoomed in on it. Never mind. Yeah, that's pretty cool looking. You got to ask yourself, does the caterpillar actually know that one day it'll be a butterfly? You know, and they say, of course not. But you would like to think so. That when it cocoons itself, and that does it know why? Probably not. But wouldn't it be cool if they did know? I mean, we're the only ones on the planet that understand what butterflies go through, including the butterfly, which is sort of an odd concept.
Cool comment, Heather. Okay, I put Bill the Poet on the board, and I also put the really cool cowboy in space art that he chose. And I was looking, he wrote to Shadowy Crescent and Space Cascade. So click on his link, and I shall push play.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Universal Cowboy. The Universal Cowboy sits astride the cosmic dancer, an ancient steed, the original intergalactic prancer, dancing through the atmosphere in zinc alloy hooves, satellites and red dwarfs with planetary grooves, galloping through the galaxy in an old spacesuit, mirrored visor covered in the smoke of a cheroot, reflecting the intensity of a million goldenrod suns, stars exploding like bullets from a pair of six guns, hurtling over stray meteorites, evaporating through time, like a breeze swirling through a forest of fresh pine, silent neighing, echoing through the rings of Saturn, planets emerging in a kaleidoscopic pattern. A strange silhouette eclipses the curve of space, a universal cowboy on a course in an infinity race, throwing up moon dust on a crest for eternity, with a finishing line is dressed in posterity. End poem.
Very cool. You know, I say it often, but it doesn't matter what we throw at Phil. He always comes up with a clever way to approach it. And I like the universal cowboy idea that he sits astride the cosmic dancer, an ancient steed, the original intergalactic prancer. I like the playful rhyme there, but I kind of like the idea of the universal cowboy and the fact that it was an ancient steed. So right off the bat, I thought that was pretty clever. And hurtling over stray meteorites evaporating through time like a breeze swirling through a forest of fresh pine. I thought that this was a fun one and that he captured the quote in the art
really well. And I always love listening to him on his recordings. He always does a fantastic job. And Phil, I appreciate you supporting the show. Thank you very much. And AP, what do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting. I did one of those horrible poems that Tata hates in a palindrome form, which had the sort of cowboys with a lady sort of sitting next to them watching the moons go by, and it sort of reminded me of that. Reminded me of that poem, there's something interesting about sort of combining space with being like a cowboy, and I thought it was really funky, Deb. I really liked the poem.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Hatter?
Yeah, I got the image like a Johnny Appleseed of the universe goes around throwing seeds everywhere. And there's a lot of truth to that story of Johnny Appleseed. Yeah, like you said, AP, I do like the way he referred to space, the universe, and spreading the seeds. Yeah, Phil has no problem bringing it to us every time. Thanks, Phil.
Right, yeah, it's always such a treat. We are making great time here. I don't know. It's very strange that Wayne and Linda didn't get here, but I'm going to keep saving those two for last just in case. And I am going to grab the poem that Crystal Holt sent, and I'll read that for her. And I love the art that she chose for hers. And the quote that she wrote, too, is, "I carry hope with weight, yet pliable, desired like gold." I'm really loving how much people zoned in on that one. But in so many different ways. Anyway, this is called Renewal of Golden Hope by Crystal Hope. And here we go. Violet skies paint the crisp clouds with pumpernickel gold flakes. A whisk of wind breezes by with the dew droplets of salt lakes. A sunset of dawn rumbles, beckoned by the moonlit night. Charcoal forests smeared to paint by the canvas of silver starlight. The morning sunrise of hope warms running through the floodgates of life. A balance of ripples, crashing waves of flight. Evening stars hug the sunlit rocks, smooching the sandcastles of soap. Watercolors bleed with marigold, carrying the flowing tides of hope. And poem. You know, if nobody else had chosen this, I knew that Crystal would, because she quite often either puts Crystal or Hope or both into her poems, and it's like sort of one of her trademarks, and it worked out really well here, especially like from the title on, Renewal of Golden Hope. But the violet skies paint the crisp clouds with pumpernickel gold flakes. The image there is crazy, but really good. And the third stanza, a morning sunrise of hope warms running through the floodgates of life. I like the floodgates of life. I think that's a great metaphor. And a balance of smooth ripples and crashing waves of flight. So it had fabulous rhyme, colors, the message of hope there in more than one spot. I think it came out really great, and Crystal is another poet who, oh, and by the way, the last time we were saying, I don't know, I think she's 22, she said she's 25 now, thank you very much, just saying. But we were always saying how she writes with such wisdom and flair, and it shows here as well. I think it came out excellent, Crystal, and it was an honor to be your reader. Thank you for sending it in. And
Yeah, no, I agree. She really sits back from the image, and she sits back from the, and she always tries to find something in it to make her own, and I think that for me was the thing about this poem. It was, you could tell it was Crystal who'd written it, and there's something really cool about that. She's got her style and her way of getting things across, and I really love that it's so distinctive and so much like her, and that's what this poem is, and I really appreciate it.
Awesome comment. And Hatter? Are you muted?
Yes, I am muted. Did you post that? Because I didn't see it. I just went and got it. That is a pretty picture. Yeah, I remember that conversation we had with her, being the way she writes. It took us a lifetime to write like she does. And she does use the crystals of hope in everyone, right?
As often as she possibly can, yes. But it doesn't get old because she uses it really well.
Yeah. Yeah, my name should be Shadow. What else did I use?
Shadow, stay in school, kids.
Yeah. Good job, Crystal.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that, you know, if you have such a beautiful name as Crystal Hope, you want to spread it around as much as you can. So it's a cool trademark to have, I say. All right, so let's see. AP, we have a new poet, and this will be the very first poem that they share on our shows. And I was hoping that you might read for him.
Okay.
And I'm looking.
And so I can see Oliver Mallett, and this is 4/11, and it goes a little bit like this. Beer bottle shining neath sunlight and cleaner than the liquid holding it. Warm air, gnarly branches and twigs curling arthritic. Farm days smelling like a farm in ways only a true country girl would know. Cows playing queen of the mountain from their grass heap stomped on, eaten, from tilling land to harvest a good crop. Sundays don't know it is a day of rest here through the laughing children, point of drive in cluttered winter's litter, garlands, brown-green earth of dirt looking miraculous. In poem. And I should say the quote was number 2, wisps of clouds to gather by a coastline.
Very cool. I like how he started out with beer bottles shining in the sunlight, looking cleaner than the liquid holding it, warm air, gently branches and twigs curling arthritic. That was really, really different. And the farm days smell like a farm in ways only true country girls would know. I think that it was like sort of charming there, and it made me smile like only true country girls would know. And towards the end, laughing children, points of drive in cluttered winter's litter garlands, brown-green earth of dirt, looking miraculous. And I was trying to see what I did with grabbing the art so that we can see what else inspired him here. And I'm scrolling away like crazy. And, oh, there it is. Okay. So it's a mushroom with a green butterfly on it. And I think he did a really clever job with it. And welcome, Oliver. It's nice to have you with us. And a shout-out to Kay for recommending that you come hang out with us. Thank you. And it was a great read, AP. What do you think of the poem?
I actually really like it. I love the pickup of some of the words. There's something quite connected here with the farmland that sort of rings through and through. And it is true. Beer bottles in the bush and sun on them look a shitload better than what's sitting in them. It's true that brown green earth looks quite brilliant in the right sun. So I think it was very insightful. It was very grounded, and I liked it. I liked it very much.
Awesome comment. And what did you think, Hatter?
Yeah, I like the way he hit. I think he spent some time on a farm. There's no day off. The day off for us was Sunday afternoon, after morning chores and before evening chores. Sunday doesn't know it is a day of rest here. Warm air, gnarly branches and twigs, early and arthritic farm days. Everything hurts. And only ways a true country girl would know. Yeah, when I come back, I want to come back as cowgirl jeans.
Okay, yeah. Adder. That was a different comment.
No.
All righty. So, I think what I'll do, just because I know that, much like you, Hatter, Wayne overdid it a little bit, and he was having some issues with his arm, but I know he was also running late, and I'm not sure what happened to Linda. It's very unlike her to not read out and tell me what's up. So I'm thinking, you know what? Speak of Linda, and she appears. Talk about timing. Well, hey.
Hi, Jeff. So sorry. We had a meeting with the borough about our property, and it just got out, so I'm here.
Oh, well, your timing is impeccable, because I was just trying to stall a little bit longer before I drew the other ones, just in case. In all honesty, I thought you just might have fallen asleep, because it happened one time before, and usually you're one of the first ones here. But much better late than never, and I am grabbing your poem right now. And if you would like to mention the quote that you chose and then read for us, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Let me get this up here. Oh, I don't have my glasses on. The quote. Oh, Lord, I can't see it. Colors that once formed a rainbow curled over my world like dreamers do. And the poem is On the Tail of a Shooting Star. In the stillness of the night, the moon floats in the sky like a bubble of imagination, asking us to wonder why. Bright stars abound in glory, twinkling for the moon. It won't be too long for him. It won't be long for him to shine. The sun will be up soon. So in my mind, I wondered if I had a chance. Could I go and see the moon and ask him for a dance? So on the tail of a shooting star, I'll fly, searching for a dream. To light my way, I'll ask the moon, please spare me one moonbeam. I'll tell you what, the moon replied, you take the brightest one. I'm proud of it because it shines much brighter than the sun. Here's two things about the moon that not many people know. His vanity precedes him, and he has a large ego. I didn't want to tell him why his moonbeam shined so bright or how the sun reflects on him so he could light the night. Well, how much do I owe you for this very special beam? He said, it's free for you, my dear, so you can find your dream. I kissed the moon upon his cheek and said, I love you so, but can I get a chance dance from you before I have to go? Certainly, the moon replied, let's dance for all to see. I'm proud to get the chance to dance with just you and me. So the stars twinkled, Starry Night, one of my favorite songs. Then after we were finished, I had to move along. The dreams out there, just like there's dreamers out there just like me who wonder about things like how to catch a rainbow and tie it to a string. Colors that once formed a rainbow curled over my world like dreamers do. But in my dream, I dance about with the moon in many hues. In poem.
How enchanted. You know, you your rhyme scheme is really awesome. And I like a bubble of imagination asking us to wonder why. Bright stars abound in glory, twinkling for the moon. It won't be long for him to shine. The sun will be up soon. And I really liked, where is that brighter than the... you can't ever find something when you're trying to hurry. The part about the sun, or shining brighter than the sun. Oh, darn. I'll just pick another one because they're all gorgeous. There's dreamers out there just like me who wonder about things like how to catch a rainbow and tie it to a string. Like I said, that was just, it felt so enchanted. The thought of having that rainbow on a string, you could pull it down and fly it like a kite. Really, really cool. And the closing stanza, colors that once formed a rainbow curled over my world like dreamers do. But in my dreams, I danced about with the moon in many hues. I like how you tied his quote in with that at the end. And it's bugging me that I can't find that one I wanted to quote. I didn't want to tell him why his moonbeam shined so bright or how the sun reflects on him so he could light the night. Just awesome rhyming all the time. Great story, great feel. You took the words of AP and the art that you chose and turned them into a brilliant piece like you always do. And I'm so glad that you made it in time to read, because although, you know, we would have been glad to read it for you, it's always much better to hear you read. And I hope she heard some of that. I didn't realize you dropped. I hope you were hearing my comment. But,
thanks, Deb.
Awesome. Great. AP, what did
thanks.
You think?
Yeah, and I couldn't miss AP's night.
Well, that's why I was a little bit concerned, because I knew we were, you know, going to be here and whatnot. And I did hear from Wayne that he was running late, like I said, I'm glad you were able to come and read. Appreciate it very much. AP, what do you think?
I appreciate it, too. What Linda does every time is that she consistently puts herself on the page, and it's a good thing, because she's a beautiful rhymer and she tells a story, but more than that, she's just a great person, and it comes through in her poetry, and it comes through in the way she is, and I'm very proud to call her a friend.
Thanks, AP.
Aww.
And beautiful quote, by the way. Thank you for inspiring my poem.
Pleasure.
I love these moments. How would you think?
Yeah, the rhyme is spot on. You always tell a story, and everyone belongs in a book being read to some child. But there's one thing I noticed that I totally agree with. He said he. The moon is a he, right? That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
I thought. Don't get me started. What's the poem? Have you ever danced with the devil under a full moon, or what is it?
Have you ever danced with the devil under pale moonlight? Yeah.
I thought it might as well. Good job.
Right on. Thanks, Hatter.
Sure.
Very, very awesome. And, okay, let me see here. Pekin, just in case he clicked in and he did not. Okay, so I have a poem that Mr. Wayne Gent sent in, and I am posting that now. And if you guys click on it, I'll push his recording. And in case he did not put it in his recording, I better look on the board. Okay, so he put it, I don't know which quote he read. I just took down the topic. Darn it. Okay, he probably incorporated it somehow, and we will figure it out. But here comes the recording.
This poem is called Outdoor Activity. Trees were whistling quietly in the shadow of the magpie's call. Kiss of dawn stamped dew drew giggles at what the willows saw. Early intruded ivy eloped with middle-aged moss before noon. Sunshine shadows shortened as forest wildlife sang their tune. Saturated clouds congregate, covering crowd with cool canopy. Envious evergreens stood silently during marital ceremony. Oaks argued about age-old remedy to treat blistering bark. Harmony was heard in the stillness of midnight dark. In.
Awesome. And just like I thought, if he doesn't write it in the author's notes, it's because he puts it into the poem somewhere, and it was the magpie's call line, so he threaded it in there. Really awesome. And for two stanzas, he sure did paint a great scene. He started off with AP's quote, of course, and I liked the second line, kiss of dawn, stamp dew, drew giggles at what the willows saw. The dawn stamp drew giggles. Sometimes it amazes me because he has these tongue twisters going on and the alliteration's off the hook, and he's so good at it that he just reads it flawlessly. I've never heard him sound tongue twisted or stutter over trying to say them. It's like just a wow. And I like that the saturated clouds congregate, covering crowd with cool canopy. So, I mean, he just did a beautiful job, and he brought the art to life. And you can see the shadows now and then, and so that it worked perfectly with the magpie's call quote as well. So I thought that this was a really beautiful brevity. We missed you, Wayne, but very much appreciate you sending the poem in. And it was fantastic. AP, what you think?
Well, I really like The Man from Orenbach, and Wayne's the only person who actually used a quote from it tonight. And I remember that poem very well and writing it, and it's one of my favourite poems. So I was very glad that we started this poem with that quote, and had a lovely sense about the poem and a beauty in the poem, and thank you, Wayne, for writing.
Awesome. And Linda, what do you think?
I thought it was beautiful. Some of the lines in it were just like fantastic. Sunshine, shadows, shorten as forest wildlife sang their tune is such a pretty line. And I like that he gave the forest life itself and brought it, you know, alive. And I think he did a great job with the alliteration too and the tongue twisters. Kiss of dawn, stamp dew, drew, giggles at what the willow saw. I just love it. He is the king, and we all should bow down to him. I loved it, Wayne. Thank you for sharing. Great imagery, too.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, I agree. The tongue-twisting lines that Wayne puts in it. You're right. I've never heard him stumble or trip over his own words, but I know I have reading his. Good job, Wayne.
Yeah, I have too. It really takes skill to write it, but even more to read it, I say, because, you know, sometimes you just get your tongue tangled and it doesn't come out as smooth as it does when Wayne reads it. All right, so let me see here. I know we already said that the sky will be on, but just as a reminder, tomorrow at 8, she's doing the origins of the months of the year. Last month it was the origins of the days of the week, and that one came out really great. I had fun with it, so check out her topic for that. And then on Wednesday night, sky's at 8 p.m., and then on Wednesday night at 9 p.m., Crystal Hope is doing her show, and she wants you to choose your favorite poem that you've written in April for National Poetry Month. If you didn't participate this year, but you have one from last year, just one of your favorite poems that you've written during the month of April. So that ought to have a nice variety. I'm not positive about Thursday, so we will skip on to Liquid Damage, Linda, and you can tell us about Friday.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun on Friday. Last Friday's show was fantastic. We had a lot of fun, and we're going to do it again this Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern at a Team of Voices.
Very awesome. And that takes us over to Saturday, and AP, you want to push that one? What's the topic this week?
Well, we're back again for the wonderful world of Deb, myself, and Hatter, and we always have fun, and it usually is about an hour long show, Deb. So we don't sit there and wait for the world to follow us. We go and do more a talk based show, I guess it's fair to say, with Hatter and Deb, and we talk about just about everything, and this week we're talking about sport.
Awesome, and that's at 9 p.m. And that takes us to my show next week, where we continue on our journey sharing quotes from our fellow poets, and next week we celebrate the words of Jay Hatter, my big brother, and there are 10 incredible quotes that I chose from his poetry. And there's a wide variety of different art, from firefighters to football and butterflies and Alice and stuff in between. So I put the link on the board if you want to click in and choose your art for next week. We will be here at 10, as always. And let me see here. Yeah, I think that
covers everything, and we filled that 2 hours. I can't believe it. There's 2 minutes left. The 2 hours flew by. As it usually does, we had a particular quote that stood out, and even poets like me who couldn't pick just one, so they put a whole bunch of them in it, used that quote, and it was the, I carry hope with weight, yet pliable and desired like gold. It was one of the most popular quotes of the night. AP, I think that your work inspired some fabulous poetry, and thank you for inspiring all of us. And was there anything that you wanted to say before we logged out of here?
No, I had a great night, Seth. Thank you to everybody who wrote. It's always wonderful to have poets arrive in their own style and interpret words. And the nice thing for me is that, as you said, most people wrote to a set of words that only, you know, fairly recently wrote, which is sort of cool, really. So sort of give you hope. So thank you to everybody for participating and for being on the show and for being around Team The Voices and supporting the shows in general. Thank you.
Fantastic. Again, I say amazing words for us all to write to. And Linda, I'm really thrilled that you made it. And Heather, as always, thank you for being my co-host. Next week, we get to shine that light on you, prepared. And on that note, I would like to say thank you to the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, as well as the amazing board members, A.P. and Heather and Sweet Pea. Appreciate you all. And I want to say thank you to Kay and Steven and Sky and Angel and Pee-wee and JCA and Jenny and Phil and Wayne and Gerald and Oliver and Linda and Crystal. Appreciate you all very much. You make the shows special. Gerald, welcome home. And Oliver, welcome aboard. It was nice to hear you for the first time. And on that note, be sure to grab your art to celebrate Hatter, and I guess that's all, folks. Wayne, we missed you. Hope all is well. And I think that we will just go out in the same manner that we came in, and that would be Land Down Under by Men at Work. And guys don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Love y'all.
Thanks, Deb.
Love and respect, Deb.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A women go and men follow. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under. We don't flow and mention her. Can you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. Thank you.
forward to it. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Hatter.
Thanks.
Good night.
Thank you, Deb.
Thanks, Deb. Good night.
Thanks. Love and respect.